Welcome to Prairie Craft Almanac, a podcast about craft, nature, and simple living. From discussions on sewing or knitting or painting, to sharing valuable resources, to just chatting about what's going on in the garden or studio, this is where I like to talk about all things creative. I'm your host, Leanne, and I'm also a maker, artist, grower, and the blogger behind Moth and Rust DIY, a place where I share free knitting patterns, tutorials, and more. I'm all about living a creative life, and it's always my goal to inspire, educate, and encourage others in their own creative journeys. I've just started recording, and well, obviously, if you're watching the video, you know it's a video. If you're listening on your preferred podcast platform, you may not know that. Now, I do want to say, you do not have to watch the video. There probably won't be a whole lot of visuals that you'll need to see. I mean, hopefully it won't take away from your experience if you're not watching. It should still be just an audio podcast. But if you are listening to the audio version and I do talk about something that I'm showing, you can either look at the video or you can simply go to my blog. I will link in the show notes any visuals that there are, so you don't have to watch the whole thing. If you're just listening to the audio version, you can look at anything I might show on the screen. It'll be on my blog. As I have mentioned in previous episodes, I've been wanting to do video podcasts as well for those who watch or listen on YouTube, and that's what we're trying today. The other thing is that I'm going to try to do minimal editing, which is scary for me. This is another thing I've talked about. I would like the podcast to be more conversational and natural, and so I don't have to like edit so much. But it's very scary for me to not have like a script. And while I don't always record from a set script, I usually have some kind of structure. I do have notes, but if this episode is slightly more rambly than usual, I hope you will forgive that, because I've got to start sometime if I'm going to get used to doing this, and so that's what we're trying out today. You may also notice that I sort of, if you've listened to a lot of episodes, you might know that I've sort of mixed things up with the intro a little bit. Because I've been thinking a lot about my branding or rebranding, as it were. I don't know. If you are a creative person who has an online business or even just shows your work online, you've probably struggled with this before. When I started the podcast, it was sort of meant to be a companion to my craft blog, Moth and Rust DIY. But since I've been doing more art videos under my name, it's not Moth and Rust, it's just kind of like Leanne. Since I've been doing that, I've been thinking, ooh, I'd like to start an art podcast. But the reality is, I don't need to start another podcast when I can barely keep up with this one. And I want to do this podcast, and I don't see any reason why this could not also just be Leanne's podcast. I mean, it is. I don't know. I don't know if this makes any sense. But if there is a shift in the vibe, well, there probably won't be. I don't know. But I want this to also not just be the Moth and Rust podcast, but also Leanne's podcast, Leanne's art podcast. So I might talk more about art stuff. I'm still going to talk about craft, although I haven't been doing a lot of craft lately, other than just sewing bloomers and things for my business. But if it's slightly different, that's why. I just want it to be my thing that I do, and whether you're a follower of Moth and Rust or just me, Leanne, this is the podcast. Speaking of online things, I also recently closed my Redbubble shop. Maybe I've mentioned this in passing, I think, that I had a Redbubble shop. If you don't know what Redbubble is, it's kind of a, it's a print on demand service. Artists would upload their work and you can buy that work on t-shirts or mugs or whatever, or art prints, and the artist would get a small percentage. Now, I never made a lot of money on there. I sold a few things and it was just kind of more like a fun thing to do. But they recently changed their pricing structure to where if you're making a lot of money on Redbubble, it doesn't affect you too much. It still kind of does. But if you're just making a few bucks here and there, or even anything under like $500, if that's your profit, they're taking 50% of that now as well, which, again, it was never like a lot of money. Like, you might make 20% profit on an item. So if it was a $20 shirt, maybe you made $4, which, you know, arguably isn't terrible if you're just doing it for fun. But it's almost kind of the principle of the thing now. I can't see having my artwork available on something, and if somebody did actually buy it, to just get, like, you know, 50 cents for that thing. So I shut that down. A lot of artists are not happy with this. It seems like Redbubble is punishing the artists, and or smaller artists especially, and it's just kind of weird. So that's why I no longer have that shop. And one other online related thing, it's not like we need one more social media app, but I'm curious if you've heard of Lemonade, Lemon and then the numeral 8. It's owned by TikTok, or ByteDance, I guess. I don't know. It's like a cross between Pinterest and Instagram, or so they say. And I guess it just launched in the US and the UK in February of this year. So like I said, I don't know if we need another social media app, but I guess I'm going to mess around with that and see if it's something that could be beneficial. I feel like it's either going to be horrible or amazing, and I don't know if there's any in between. So if you've messed around with it, let me know. If you've never heard of it, let me know. And yeah, we'll see. So like I said, I've been making a lot of art lately, or more art than, say, craft type of things. Again, I'm not abandoning that. I've just really been wanting to draw and paint things lately. And even if you're not a visual artist like that, I had a few things I wanted to share. But first of all, I've really been loving sketchbooks, the idea of having a sketchbook. You know, I always keep a sketchbook, but lately I've just really been struck by how magical it is to be able to keep a sketchbook. I mean, you can do anything you want in it. Even if you don't draw or you don't consider yourself an artist, if you're a creative person, I feel like you've got to have a sketchbook. You've got to have a journal or something where you can scribble or write your ideas or collect things. And it's just so cool that it's your own space. You don't have to share it with anybody else. I know in this day and age of social media, it's easy, especially I think if you've grown up with it, to think you have to show your work to everybody online all the time. And I mean, I've been guilty of feeling that way myself, but sketchbooks are just kind of cool. One art YouTuber I've been enjoying is Kristen of Little Tiny Egg. You should go check out her channel if you like art and vlogs and things like that. I recently watched one of her videos, which I will link in the show notes, of course, on how to make more art this year. And I feel like these things, again, could apply to somebody who's not a fine artist or a visual artist. But one thing I really loved that she mentioned was making a menu for yourself. There are so many times when I want to draw or make something and I just don't know where to start. Because like she said, you either have so many ideas you can't pick one, or you're just overwhelmed and you can't even remember what you like to draw. So if you create a menu, then that takes away some of the decision making. And it eliminates choices, which is honestly, I think, you know, we think choices are sometimes good. And I mean, they are sometimes. It's good to have choices sometimes. But sometimes I feel like you should limit yourself to be more creative. And I love that idea of a menu. And I'm going to do that. I haven't made one yet, but I'm going to. Another YouTube channel, art channel, I've really been enjoying is Sketchbook School. And there is a video on there called The Creative Process, 3 Steps to Unlock Your Hidden Potential. And this especially is, I think, something valuable to any type of creative or any person because, you know, I think all people are creative. We all have that potential. So I want you to watch this video because you need the whole thing. It's for context. It's really great. But I do want to read the second step here of the 3 steps. It's something that I don't consider a lot, or I haven't considered very much. And it's so true. And I really needed this sort of reminder about this. So again, please watch the video, which I will link in the description, the show notes, but let me read this part. So he first talks about consuming content and having conversations and basically filling your creative reservoir. But then he says, and as you get ready, your subconscious mind will be diving deep into this reservoir of inspiration, and it'll be making connections. It'll be putting disparate pieces of information together in random, infinite ways. It'll be linking a musical theme with a historical fact, with a snippet of a conversation, with a data chart, and a recipe for great meatballs. The cauldron is going on simmer, and the ingredients are going to start to melt into a rich broth, and that takes time, private time, just the reservoir of your brain perking and bubbling. With no adult supervision, you can't open the oven. You gotta just distract your conscious mind, and you gotta let the juices flow. No amount of straining or worry is gonna help this stage. In fact, it's quite the contrary. You gotta trust the process. Take a nap, play a game, stare out the window, take a shower, floss, and suddenly, poof, stuff will appear. Ideas will pop like kernels, and at this stage, you'll spew out all sorts of ideas, good ideas, but also bad ones, and weird ones, and useless ones. You will be a well-fed meadow. Your rich soil will be like a magnet for seeds from across the world, sprouting up flowers and fruits and weeds and trees in abundance. An unmanicured cacophony of abundance, but that's not the end because what appears is still raw. It's full of potential, but it's not ready for prime time. So next to the hardest part, you gotta polish, you gotta prune, you gotta evaluate, you gotta execute. And this requires a gear change in your head. So that was a very long quote from this 3-part video. And again, I recommend, please go watch his video. It's very enlightening, I think, and was really helpful to me. And then go watch a few of his other videos, because what I have seen so far from this channel is really good. And again, not just for visual fine artists, but any type of creative person, I think, could benefit from this. So this past weekend, I went to Dick Arboretum in Heston, Kansas. Finally, I'd been wanting to go there for quite some time. We didn't go look at the grounds. We just went to the native plant sale, which they hold twice a year in the spring and fall. And we didn't buy a whole lot because it was a little bit of money. So we got some coneflower, milkweed, a butterfly bush, and a few other things that I don't actually remember. I wanted to sort of plan out where we would plant these things, but that did not happen, which is why, oh, there's a squirrel. there's literally a squirrel walking across right outside my window. Anyway, I wanted to plan where I'm going to plant these things, but I didn't. So we didn't go all out because, again, it's a little bit of money. And there's always the sale in the fall, which I think I will go to. But I feel like I'm that much closer, I guess, to actually starting on my native plant garden. And it's a slow process, but we're getting there. And in the vegetable garden, potatoes finally got planted, which normally we would plant at the end of March or the beginning of April. I think this was more like April 18th we planted potatoes. But honestly, I'm glad we waited because even though we've had a lot of warm days this April, we've also had some late freezes. And potato plants, once they come up out of the ground, can't really tolerate frost as well as, say, peas or radishes or lettuce. So I'm glad we waited on that. I am planning, I think, later this week to plant some corn alongside the potatoes. I understand those are good companion plants. I thought it'd be fun to do some more corn. I don't think we're going to do sweet corn. I want to do some more blue corn like I planted last year, and also some glass gem corn. And you can eat those types of corn as sweet corn if you get it before they harden. So I'm either going to do that or use them decoratively, because who are we kidding? I'm not making corn flour. Well, maybe I will. I don't know. But I thought that would be fun. We have Jetstar tomatoes and I think 4th of July tomato plants, which we're still waiting to plant because, again, it's been freezing a little bit at night. I thought I wasn't going to do cotton. Then I decided I would, and I still haven't purchased any seeds, though. I don't need to purchase brown cotton or green. I have plenty of seeds for that. But I wanted to grow some white this year since I hadn't done that. And I still haven't decided, but I suppose I still probably have time. I will also say a lot of my garden guilt has subsided. I've come to terms with the fact that we're not going to have a market garden. We'll just grow what we can to eat, and that's basically all it's going to be. I was going to say I've been working on organizing the farmer's market that I talked about last episode, and honestly, I can't even tell you. I guess it's really just a matter of collecting emails, but sometimes all those emails and messages, they add up, and that's okay. I'm not complaining, but I feel like I'm not doing anything, and yet it's taking some time to not really get anything done. I was thinking I would sell some handmade things and some art at the market, and I still will, I think, probably, I hope. But I don't think I'm going to the first night or maybe for several weeks because, for one thing, it's really packed. We've got a ton of great vendors, so that's very exciting. So, but there may not be room. Well, there probably would be room, but honestly, I'd rather focus probably on documenting and getting photos and videos and things for the social media. So I might not be selling anything at the market until later in the season when I'm used to doing the market, and maybe we kind of get into a rhythm, and then I'll try to set up a booth, I suppose. But yeah, it's very exciting, so that's another thing I've been doing. I will let you know, of course, needless to say, how the market goes, and if I learn anything that I can pass on to you about how to do it, because I don't know how successful this is going to be. Everybody's just learning, I think. But hopefully I'll learn something useful and I can share it either here or on the blog. Anyway, so I've been recording for a little while. I don't know, like I said, I don't know what this episode's going to be like. I hope it's not horrible. I wasn't as prepared as I would have liked to have been today for a video podcast. It would have been a breeze, you know, if it was just the audio. And I realized I didn't actually have anything to show you, so there probably won't be links to any visuals, as I do not have any this week. Excuse me, this month. This is not a weekly podcast. This is a monthly podcast, if I'm lucky. anyway, I haven't asked in a while, so if you have any questions about anything that you would like me to address on the show, I might do that next time. But I just wanted to just get this out there. And again, you guys are my guinea pigs, so if this really sucks, I'm sorry. But I've got to practice, and You know, you got to make some bad stuff to make good stuff. Anyway, I'm glad you could hang out with me today. If you're new, again, I have a blog. It's mothandrustdiy.com. Be sure to go there for free tutorials, patterns, and more. If you have a question about anything, send me an email at mothandrustdiy@gmail.com. Or you can contact me through my website. There's a contact form, but please do be sure to fill out the part where you have your question or your comment. I've been getting a lot that are blank. People will contact me, but they don't say anything. And so I'm not sure if somebody just, if they forgot to fill it out or if it's some kind of spam thing. It probably is spam. I don't know. But anyway, follow me on social media if you're so inclined. And stay tuned for next month's episode, which I'm hoping will be very informative and hopefully not such a ramble fest. But anyway, if you've been listening for a long time, I guess you don't mind it. I don't know. You're used to it. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you are well, and please take care of yourself.